This summer's series on the life of Paul and everything that God has called him to do as an apostle, we turn to some time that he spent in the city of Ephesus, which we'll find in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, beginning at verse 8. Acts 19, verse 8. Hear God's word. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way, so Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this, and one day the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we thank you for your word to us, that you have promised never to break your covenant with us. Amid all the changing words of our generation, we desire to hear your eternal word that does not change. Enable us today to respond to your word's gracious promises with faithful and obedient lives. In Christ's name we pray, amen. The test to any ministry is what happens through the people to whom we minister. Luke tells us that as a result of Paul's proclamation of the kingdom of God, all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, both Jews and Greeks. Let me say that again. All who dwelt in Asia, all, heard the word of the Lord. Now, that's quite an accolade for a short time of teaching in the synagogue and then 2 years of daily meetings in the lecture hall of the philosopher Tyrannus. Research reveals that Paul probably was given use of the hall when it was not being used by its owner, the philosopher. The hours of 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., these are the hours of rest when all work in the city stopped, and 5 hours a day, most people had free to leisurely stop and listen. These few hours each day for 2 years produced a movement that reached the entire province of Asia Minor. Incredible. We can be sure that Paul was disappointed when he was put out of the synagogue once again because of the hardness of the heart of his Jewish brothers. But the closed door again led to an open door of opportunity. The hall of Tyrannus that is mentioned by Luke here in Acts 19 was perfectly suited for Paul to spread the news of Jesus. Paul gave them more than a new set of ideas. He wasn't just presenting a new philosophy, which is what they ordinarily heard in that hall. Paul gave them the kingdom of God, the message of Christ, and inherent in the proclamation of the kingdom was the Lord's rule over all of life. The theme, coupled with the lordship of Christ, produced an authentic faith in those who responded. We know that because of their actions that followed hearing the gospel. They had an obligation then to claim the city, the country, the world in Jesus' name. And so they did. The joy of these new converts must have been contagious. Wherever they went, they told about what had happened to them. Paul could not have reached the whole province in 2 years if he had walked the length and breadth of the area, talking to every person that he met. Instead, he preached daily, and those who were won to Christ multiplied his ministry, you see. They left the hall of Tyrannus, and they went out into the streets and the byways and the communities and the homes of Asia Minor, and they shared what they had heard. They could not stop talking about what happened to them. Again, amazingly, all of Asia Minor heard the message of Christ. A successful communicator can judge his or her effectiveness not only in what happens to those who listen, but what happens through those listeners in reproducing their faith in others. There's no greater joy than seeing the message of the gospel multiplied and passed on. Nor is there any limit to what can happen when we base our entire ministry on the power of the name of Jesus. The name, according to this passage, carries great weight and authority, power designated to those who speak the name. When we preach, when we pray, when we confront the forces of evil in Jesus' name, we are assured that we will be able to release the same wonders that are recorded in the book of Acts. Paul's ministry in Ephesus was marked by many miracles done through the name of Jesus. It's there in black and white. Paul's ministry in Ephesus was marked by many miracles done through the name of Jesus. And the power at work through the apostle was so great that the Ephesians actually believed that the handkerchiefs and aprons he wore as he worked at his trade would have the same power. Did you catch that part of the story? Superstition? Perhaps. But the Lord came near to people and met their needs because of Paul's clear preaching of the power of Jesus' name. Paul's sweatbands, his artisan aprons, were used to continue to share the name of Jesus and the power it held. It was because people had heard the apostle's message and witnessed the Lord's miracles through him that they believed even an article of clothing that he wore would grant them healing. The evil spirits could not resist the name of Jesus, and the simple faith of those who trusted, however primitive their method was given and shared to others. And the point is that the Holy Spirit was moving mightily in Ephesus, confronting the entrenched evil of the city. God does miracles through the power of his name, wherever, whenever, that message is preached. And this shows us how the Lord takes people where they are. At this time, there was a belief in the spiritual power of articles fashioned in the image of a god or blessed in its shrine. They were called grammatia. The Lord blessed the prayers of people and held articles of Paul's clothing because he knew of the apostles' faithfulness to point away from himself to the source of his power, which is the name of Jesus Christ. And that's why this took place. I can think of no other explanation. But the demonstration of what that kind of power often attracts counterfeiters. So as the story goes, itinerant Jewish exorcists roamed the world at this time, claiming to rid people of evil spirits, sadly charging fees and pocketing those fees for their benefit. And the profession had become a source of revenue for exorcists and fortune tellers. Superstitious Ephesians attracted many of these would-be liberators of possessed people. And so when they saw the miracles of Paul's ministry unfold, they tried to emulate his power by using the name of Jesus. In particular, seven sons of a priest named Sceva. They sought to use Jesus' name without personal faith in him, but to gain renown and fame. They tried to exorcise these evil spirits by saying, "In the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches," and it was that secondhand pretense of power that the evil spirit responded to and said, "Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you?" The spirit could recognize a counterfeiter, an interloper. Evil cannot cast out evil. The evil spirit recognized the self-serving exploitation engaged by the sons of Sceva. Only a person in whom Jesus lives has the power to use his name in prayer and healing. Confronting evil without the only name which is greater than evil, dear friends, is actually dangerous. What happened to the sons of Sceva is evidence of that. A possessed man with whom they had tried to use their counterfeited formula for exorcism turned on them, and the text says, beat them badly. And they ran away, bleeding. They fled naked and wounded. The exposure of the difference between magic and miracles had a profound impact on the entire city. It caused a moral reform. A wave of morality swept through the city of Ephesus. A creative awe and wonder came upon all those who believed in Christ. They came and openly confessed what they had done. Now to me, that's truly fascinating. Those who had become Christian now confessed their false dependence on magic. They brought their books, their horoscopes, their cult manuals, their occult literature, and burned them in a public display of the total dependence on the name of Jesus. It is said that those scrolls, those books, may have valued in today's money $5 million. Now that tells me that the Spirit was at work in the lives of people to bring about authentic change. Paul's method in Ephesus was to introduce people to Christ, knowing that once he took up residence in a new believer, his reform would begin in them and continue throughout their lifetime. We can depend on the Lord to augment our communication with outward signs of its source and power. All we have to do, Christian friends, is tell the story. And Jesus, in the presence of his Spirit, takes care of the rest. Lifestyle speaks as loudly as our words. A congregation may have the intent to do evangelism, but it's the quality of unconditional love lived out in the lives of its members that is the tangible ministry toward visible problems, is a way of reaching people that really makes a difference. There's nothing more powerful than a local church that preaches and teaches the power of Christ and is also hands-on involved in ministries to the poor, the troubled, and the disadvantaged. Ephesus had its own brand of belief in magic. We have ours today. Most people in our culture believe that there is magic in money, that we think money is what should dominate our lives. When people receive Christ's Spirit, he confronts this false god in our lives. And in the context of his love, we're able to grapple with the kind of biblical giving that we talked about last week from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Money was released in that case for the work of ministry through the generosity and compassion of those congregations who gave authentically to help their brothers and sisters in need. Dr. Lloyd Ogilvy once said, this happened in the life of a man who watched their television ministry. Dr. Ogilvy was the pastor at Hollywood Presbyterian Church in California, and he says that through attending the worship services, having been introduced to the man through their television, through their television ministry, this man committed his life to Christ. Eventually, his love of money as the meaning of his life was brought into sharp focus, and he began to grow as a believer, and he began to tithe his immense income. And over time, his giving won him the privilege of sharing his faith with others. Not only has his giving made possible a great advance in the work of the church, it has confronted others with their need to admit their false loyalty to money as the source of their security. I said it once before, and I'll say it once again. Paul's ministry in Ephesus was marked by many miracles done in the name of Jesus Christ. Preaching and teaching and healing in the powerful name of Jesus produced results in Ephesus. When people are changed, they experience the adventure of the life in the kingdom of God. And once they are healed, they begin to claim the power of the name of Jesus that changes lives and changes homes and changes churches and changes communities and even changes the world. Amen. Because